Every day you and I have opportunities that will give us privileges in life that sometimes we would never dream would come our way. Many times God will lay those opportunities in front of us, just as plain as can be. Also, Satan may lay an opportunity in front of us that looks so much like the real thing, it's hard for us to tell the difference. If you'll find Joshua chapter 1, that's where we'll be this morning. Sometimes God provides us a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it is a wise man or woman that can look at those and say, is this really what God wants me to move on, or should I wait? Well, the Bible is full of examples of men and women who had divinely offered opportunities in front of them, and we see some who blew it. Did they ever blow it? And some took advantage of it, and God richly blessed them. So what I want you to do this morning is look at with some characteristics of a divinely offered opportunity and how we know when one does come our way, is it really of Him or not? In Joshua chapter 1, there's a portion of this chapter that every parent, every grandparent ought to teach their children and grandchildren some of these principles. If you remember the story, Moses has just died, and the mantle has now fallen upon Joshua to lead the nation of Israel, and they're facing needing to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. So pick up with me beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Joshua. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. God did that a long, long time ago. Those are the boundaries that He mapped out for the nation of Israel. And ever since that time, there have been fights and wars over who owns all this. God says, I've given it to Israel. And yet to this very day, there will be some skirmish somewhere, probably around the borders of Israel, with a group of people saying, no, that's ours. And God said, no, that's Israel's. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, to the right, or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, and the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then look at verse 10. He begins to encourage him here. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan and go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And the Reubenites said to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave to you in the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as He gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. Now look at verse 16, 17, and 18 as we finish the chapter. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we have obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your word in all you command him shall be, put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, that was a lengthy passage But I wanted to read all of that because it puts all of it in context as we were talking about these divine opportunities. When you and I face some things that the Lord may have laid in front of us and we're not sure, is this really of the Lord or not? The question is, how do I know this is of God? How should I respond if it is of God? Some of the most miserable people I have ever met can just about today tell you where they took a wrong turn. God laid an opportunity in front of them. They said, no, I don't want to do that right now. I want to do this. And they took a left turn instead of a right turn. And they can tell you from that day forward, I've been out of the will of God. I'm not where I need to be with my walk with Christ. And my life is miserable. May have been because of unbelief, maybe a little fear, maybe some uncertainty, dozen other reasons, but the result was still no, I'm going to let this go by. That's not interesting me right now. I don't think I'm going to make this decision at this point. And if you're familiar with the background of this passage, that for 40 years before this, that generation had all died off in the wilderness due to war and sickness and famine and disease. And the reason they all died off was because 40 years before that, that generation stood at the edge of the Jordan looking at the promised land, which God has said, I have already given it to you. I said, no, don't think we want to do that right now. It passed their way one time and one time only. Now, I will say this. I would not be foolish enough to stand here and tell you that some of the opportunities God lays before you will only be laid before you one time, because we just don't know. But I can guarantee you in my life, I can look back and say, I know God offered this to me one time and I never saw it again. And you probably can too. There are some things that will only pass our way one time. The hard part is determining, is this one of those? And one of the most obvious ways we know that is because the nation of Israel changed their mind the next day concerning the promised land. And God said, no. You missed it. That was yesterday. Today's a different day. And if one of those opportunities does come your way and you happen to be living in the flesh, disobedient to God, not walking in the Spirit, not sensitive to the ways of God, and that opportunity does pass your way, you may not be in tune enough with Him to know, is this a one-time offer or not? You and I need to learn to be very sensitive to the opportunities of God. And one of the greatest tools we can leave our children is to teach them to be discerning in the ways of God. And my goodness, do they ever need it today. There are thousands of things will be thrown in front of them to pull them away, to lead them away, to distract them, to get them off message in their walk with Christ. And they'll make some unwise decisions at times. But if we can teach them to be discerning, we will save them a lot of grief. So jot some of these down. Let me give you several principles in light of what we've just read in Joshua chapter 1 that I believe God would want us to remember about His opportunities. Number one, when God offers you an opportunity, it is part of His bigger plan for your life. When God offers you an opportunity, it is part of His bigger plan for your life, because God has a perfect will and a perfect plan for your life. And so when opportunities do come along about a vocation, about what school to go to, about should I relocate, should I move, should I do this, should I do that, some of them are going to be huge, major mile markers, some of them not so. But they could be bigger markers in the bigger picture for God's plan for your life. That's why there are no accidents in the life of a believer. Did you hear that? There are no coincidences in your life if you're a follower of Christ. For example, what was the promised land all about? How did that fit into God's big plan for the whole human race? We know it did. But they only saw this little focus, and sometimes we have difficulty seeing the bigger plan. That little strip of land on the east side of the Mediterranean, which will be the crossroads of the continent of Asia and Europe and Africa, that little spot on the map for centuries, God has focused the whole world's attention on. What God was saying to those Hebrews is, you're to take this land, and it not only fits into my big plan for you, but it fits into the overall purpose that I have for this world one day. And so when you and I have an opportunity that comes our way, the first thing we need to ask is, Lord, how does this decision that I need to make about this opportunity, how does it fit into the big picture, the will you have for my life? Number two, God's opportunities are perfectly timed. God's opportunities are perfectly timed. Scripture tells us that God's servant Moses has now died. God's taken him home. And those who would not believe God and take him at his word, that is, they were to take the land, and they did not. They all died off in the wilderness. They would never be able to receive the blessings that God had planned for them. And now God has raised up in Moses' place Joshua. Now watch how God operates. Joshua, remember, Joshua was one of the two spies that went in ahead of the time and saw the land, and he never forgot what he saw. He remembered that. And he had walked side by side with Moses, and in God's perfect timing, when he knew Joshua was ready, the people were ready, and the last of the unbelievers who had been holding back from what God had wanted them to, when once they were all gone, and all those who were left were ready to follow Joshua, and the timing was right. The timing was right. Sometimes when an opportunity comes our way and we are not ready for it, God may have to hit the pause button and allow some people. I've watched him do this in churches. And don't hear me when I say this wrongly. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, God has called some people home in a church prematurely that had become stiff-necked and pushed against the will of God, and God hit the pause button, and after two or three funerals took place in a church, they moved forward. Everybody's going to be fine this afternoon. That's not going to happen here. You are listening to the Word of God, and you're listening to the will of God about Eastwood Baptist Church. But I have watched that in churches. Literally weeks, if not months, after I would go talk with the church and sit out, and I would sit in meetings, and I would just, my eyes would be wide up, and I'm going, I ain't believe I'm hearing this. All of a sudden, a funeral would occur. I went, oh my. Then another one would occur. It's like, okay, here we are. History's repeating itself. God's just going to hit the pause button and say, when I'm done with these folks, then I'll move this church forward. God's going to get His purpose done in this church or any other church, with you or without you. Amen. And we can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. God said to Joshua, tell the people, get ready, we're going to march in 3 days. We're going to take the promised land. Now don't miss this. I have personally struggled with this. God is never in a hurry. God is never in a hurry, and God never offers you an opportunity ahead of time. I don't like that. I wish God had gotten in a hurry a lot of times. When God offers you an opportunity, remember this, the omniscience of God arranged that. It's hesitation, a little fear, a little unbelief that may cause us to miss some of God's opportunities and the greatest blessings because we simply disagree with the timing of it. That's it. Don't really disagree with the issue. We just didn't like the timing. And so a little fear, a little hesitation, a little unbelief slips in. And if God had laid that opportunity right in front of you and He says, move on it right now, but yet you don't think you see your way clear, but that's not the issue. The issue is the omniscience of God has arranged that whether we see it or not. He knows the timing is right because He sees what's coming around the corner. I can't see what's coming around the corner, but God knows what's around the corner. And He says, I'm laying this right here in front of you now because I know what's happening for you, the church coming soon. And when you see an opportunity and you jump on it because you're afraid, if you don't think the opportunity will ever come again and you don't have God's perspective on it, you might be in trouble. We can jump ahead of God. We've all done that. We've all wished we had something right now, or I've got to have this right now. I've got to take possession of this right now. And God said, okay, go ahead. I've lost count of how many churches I've dealt with that took the first halfway decent looking guy that had a pulse as their pastor, and buddy, did they have a problem after that. Lost track of that. How many young men or young women have married the wrong person because they thought, you know, this might be the last one I'm going to get a shot with? And sadly, some moms and dads going, sweetheart, this may be as good as it's going to get. You might better go ahead. That list is a mile long of wrong decisions. Number three, God always prepares us. God always prepares us. God knows you better than anybody else knows you, and He's not going to offer you an opportunity until He knows you are prepared. Let me put a little asterisk by that statement. That's as long as you're walking in the Spirit. Our heart is bent towards Him. Because mom or dad, if your teenage son or teenage daughter's heart is not bent towards God and you're not seeing tangible evidence of them walking in the Spirit, do not be shocked if they do not make good decisions. That's just inevitable. If they're not walking with Christ and they make a bad decision, do not be shocked. Our heart needs to be bent towards Him on a daily basis in the small things. I'm beginning to recognize God's guiding hand preparing me. Therefore, I will know when He lays that big opportunity in front of me, I'll know that this is really of Him. That person says, well, I'm just sitting around just waiting on God's big break. And maybe not doing anything in the small things to allow God to begin to prepare me to get me ready for the big one. You do that with your own kids and grandkids. You're not going to bless them with something and lay a major responsibility on them when they've not been responsible with the little things. My friend, I hope if you're just sitting around waiting on God to drop something in your lap, I hope you got a comfortable seat because you may be there a while. But steadfastly, obediently before God, doing the small things as God prepares you for that next opportunity. I have seen Him do that with me. I have lost track of that. If I would be faithful in this responsibility here, God would bless me over here. Well, God had given these people a courageous leader in Joshua. We read that in 5 through 11. But God has provided for these people by giving them a courageous leader. He also prepared them by giving them very clear instructions there in verse 11. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you're to cross the Jordan. Even at times, failure can be preparation. Moses didn't always do the right thing. Our mistakes are also part of our preparation. The learning process is part of every preparation. Every single principle you lay down in your life, God just keeps laying them on top of each other, building up that foundation. Sometimes we're tempted to take a shortcut and maybe miss some of what God has for us, but you spend your time getting ready and God will tell you when you are ready. You just spend your time focusing on what He's called you to do right now and He'll decide when you're ready. Many times these shortcuts are a result of a little laziness on our part, slothfulness on the life of a believer. We must walk daily prepared, getting ready for whatever comes our way. Number four, God also paves the way for our opportunities. God's going to do this. God won't say, well, you just jump in there and do the best you can. You know, you can't find that anywhere in Scripture where God says, just do the best you can. It's not in the Bible. Now, we are always, obviously, to serve and minister with integrity and with credibility, and we are to do our best because God deserves our best. But He paves the way. Let me give you a couple of examples there. Look in Joshua 15. I'm sorry, Joshua 3, verse 15. Just turn over about a page. Joshua 3, verse 15. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam and the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of Arabath, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground. And then all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. God had already prepared to part the salt sea just like He had parted the Red Sea a while back. One more, chapter 5, Joshua, verse 1. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Word got out of what God did with Israel and they turned to Jell-O. Oh my goodness. We better not bother with these folks. The God that they worship is not on our side. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The two things they needed the most, they could not fix. They could not arrange. They needed to cross the Jordan. God took care of that. And secondly, knowing they were inferior militarily to their enemies, God took the fight out of the enemy's heart. Those two things they could not fix. There's some things Eastwood Baptist Church cannot fix. But you can be faithful in your service, in your ministry, and in your worship, and God will deal with the rest of it. Now mark this. God will not do for us what He has already told us to do or what He expects us to do, but He will always do for us what there is no way we could do. God will not do for us what He's already told us to do. And when we do that, He will be faithful and He will honor and He will open the door for us. He always paves the way. God has opened a door for you. If He has, whatever the situation in your personal life, rest assured that He's already paving the way for you to go through it. If He's the one that opened it. Number five, He always provides the means. He always provides the means. He's not going to offer you an opportunity and just say, well, just do the best you can. Hope it all works out. Let me know how it ends. God, first of all, gave Israel a courageous, bold, faithful, and experienced leader. He equipped their armies and gave them trained men. He reminded them of past victories. Thereby, that boosted their faith. He continually reminded them that God had already, past tense again, given them the land. They were prepared. That's all the means. He says, now let's take the city of Jericho. God said, you're to march around the city every day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, march around it seven times. That sounds kind of odd. But now, after the seventh day, or the seventh time on the seventh day, God does exactly what He promised He would do. He unleashes His omnipotent power from heaven, and the walls that are surrounding Jericho, that fortress, literally crumble to the ground in front of the armies of Israel. God was the original demolition expert. Long before we figured out scientifically how to blow a building up and not have it go in a gazillion different directions or blow inward on top of everything, how they could take brick and mortar and bring it down right straight down into a pile, God did that a long time ago. He couldn't push it inward because then that would have destroyed everything inside the city. He couldn't push it outward, that would have fallen it out onto the armies of Israel. He had to bring it straight down in a pile. God always assumes the responsibility of providing the means necessary for me to be obedient to Him and take advantage of the opportunity which God provides. Remember, God's already paved the way. His omnipotence has already set this up for me. The Holy Spirit assumes the responsibility of unleashing resources to accomplish what He's called me to do. One of the primary reasons so many of God's people are not blessed is because they're looking to what they can do, what man can do. I can fix this. I can change this. I can coordinate this. I can accomplish this. I wonder what challenge you might be facing right now that maybe you're a little hesitant on because you don't see the way forward. You're not sure about your own resources and you're looking at all what you can do and so you back off. You're a little hesitant, maybe a little fearful, a little uncertainty. When God's perhaps already paved the way. Maybe I just need to put it in God's hand and after prayer, leave the results to Him and act on it. Number six, we have a personal responsibility when we have an opportunity. We just talked about that. That is, the Christian life is not passive. God's not going to say, now here's what I'm going to do. You just sit back. You just watch me work. You just enjoy the show. Now, He could do that. And there are times that He has done things where we didn't really have much involvement in it at all. But you're never going to hear me say, just sit around and trust God. Trusting is not a passive word. Trust is an active word. People who are trusting are on the move. People who are trusting are making progress. People who are trusting are achieving. Trusters are the folks who are making progress in the body of Christ. Just sitting around waiting on God or your staff to do it won't work. God won't bless that. For the children of Israel, part of their responsibility was they had to march around the city. Now, God could have brought the walls down all by himself. They walked around it for 7 days. Taking the city was part of their responsibility. God does not operate apart from us. He operates through us. Think of the opportunities of growth that you and I would be deprived of if we never had a responsibility. Opportunities of giving and learning and experiencing. When an opportunity comes your way, you've got a choice. Do I move on this? Do I wait? Do I let it go by totally? Don't pay attention to it? Or do I act on it based on what the prompting of the Holy Spirit has led me to do? Seventh and finally, there is a penalty. There is a penalty when we disobey God. Now, the children of Israel knew well what that penalty was, Joshua 5, verse 6. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war, who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, if they'd have just listened to Moses and Joshua and Caleb, my friend, you don't want to live your life and stand before the Lord one day and say, oh my goodness, if I'd have just paid attention to what my Sunday school teacher told me years ago, if I'd just paid attention to what my mom told me years ago. I'm going to give you a new word today. Don't bother to look it up because it's not in the dictionary. It's spelled I-F-I-D-I, I-F-I-D-I. You pronounce it, if I'd have. Oh, if I'd have only done this. If I'd have only done that. Oh, if I'd have only listened to that dear brother that tried to challenge me back years ago. You don't want to stand before the Lord one day and start giving him a bunch of if I'd have's. But we've all probably can say them. Because we all can look back and say, if I'd only done this or done that. If you don't care about obeying for yourself, then for your family's sake, don't let opportunities go by that may be exactly a part of God's big plan for your life personally and maybe for the life of Eastwood Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, forgive us where we have decided that we could do this on our own. We've got our own resources. We've got gifts and talents. And Father, we think we can resolve this all by ourselves. Father, forgive us where we've run ahead of you and thought we already had an opportunity and we jumped ahead of you and you just let us go. Father, forgive us where we need to back away and take a little more time and pray through something. And Father, if you're also giving us an opportunity that you have clearly orchestrated, Father, may we move on that and not be hesitant. May we not be fearful. May we not be disobedient, Father. May we act out of obedience, trusting you that the omniscience of our Father has arranged all of this. Father, speak to our hearts today. Let us hear clearly from you. I pray for that family that may be looking for a place that they can call home. They maybe have been putting off, waiting too long. Father, may they be obedient today to the call upon their life. In Christ's name.